New American Standard version of the Bible has a phrase in it. You may know where it's at. A lot of you probably do. This is the phrase that I can find in the New American Standard. It says, "Enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." Now, don't go thinking that that's a messed up translation, because the King James actually says it a little bit different. Enjoy the pleasures of sin. Without clipping any words out of the phrase, that's what it says. I know your minds are going. It doesn't take some of you very long. You've read that verse so many times, you snap right off and know exactly where it's located. It's surprising sometimes how quickly and how far out things can be misconstrued. I remember when I was a younger person, teenage years, I can still hear the voice in my mind, I can still picture the face, saying that Matthew chapter 24, verse 17, where the phrase, a clause in that verse says, "top not come down," indicated that a woman's hair should be on her head. The context of that verse has nothing whatsoever to do with a woman's hair. But I remember as a young person, I heard that, and I would look that verse up, and I would think, how do they get hair out of that? Top, not come down. Okay. Enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. We are confronting that in our culture today. We are confronting that daily in our culture today. We could call it sin misconstrued. November the 12th, 2010, the USA Today had a report in it about Las Vegas. I think that Las Vegas has been dubbed Sin City. If my knowledge is correct, I think that's right. Las Vegas is dubbed Sin City. In the article, it said, "There are no rules here," gushed one satisfied customer. A marketing director for a sin club proclaimed, "Nowadays, visitors may feel let down if they haven't done what they wouldn't do back home. Visitors may feel let down if they haven't done what they wouldn't do back home." We could title something like that, "The Celebration of Sin." And quite often what you and I face in relationship to sin and the culture in which we live is not just so much simply a celebration of sin, but it's an in-your-face attitude about it. It's an in-your-face approach to it. You see, that's really what happened several weeks ago in Indianapolis when that a particular group from a university wanted to celebrate their sin in a big parade, and they went to the little cookie shop. Some of you heard about that story. They went to the cookie shop, you know, to ask for cupcakes made specifically designed for their little celebration. And the cookie shop owner said, "We don't do cupcakes." But you know, he made his mistake when he said, "We wouldn't do it anyway because of what you're doing." And the people that wanted the cupcakes thought they had the little cookie shop over the barrel, because legally the laws were on their side rather than on the cookie shop's side. It's amusing to me, rather amusing to me, that the cookie shop owners had to hire an additional employee to handle the additional demand for their cookies, because we, the people, stepped in. From all around, not just the local people going in person and ordering extra cookies just simply to support them, but people were online trying to order cookies off of them just simply to say, I'm standing with you, folks. But you see, the whole thing comes down and boils down to a celebration of sin, and it's an in-your-face approach. And we're living with that. We deal with that in our culture. You can scan the news on any given day. Even on today, you could scan the news today, and what you'll find is nothing but heartache and problems. Every page, every column has something to do with this very thing. They may not say it that way. It may not be written this way, but there is an aspect. You take the headline news for today, and what is it? North Korea. And the tragic situation that is being placed, even on America, United States, there, North Korea, or with North Korea. What's the underlying problem? The celebration of sin. We could go a little bit further down the list there and get a little closer to home, and we'll see the article about three missing boys in Michigan where their father went to drop them off at somebody that he really didn't know in his attempt to prevent the boys from seeing him kill himself. He failed in that attempt. Now the boys are missing. Not even sure. The authorities aren't even sure if the person that he said that he took them to is even a real person. Maybe he did something with them before he attempted suicide. Questions abound. What's the bottom line? You know, we hear about suicide stuff seemingly on a daily basis. And it's a celebration again. So often, their attempt to celebrate, especially when they go to marking it down that this one did it for this reason, and that reason has to do with their celebration of sin. Their sin misconstrued. You don't have to go very much further down the page of news items, and you'll come across sports figures and movie stars and all of their problems, all of their difficult days. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the problems of most of those people have an underlying thing with sin as well. But you can't judge them. You can't place any kind of judgment on sin because the Bible even says, enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. It's been said that we are in the beginning years of the age of delusion, and reading these kinds of things and understanding these kinds of things, I can believe it. We are in the beginning stage, or we are somewhere at the beginning of the age of delusion. It's very real. It's very visible in our world. It's very visible in our culture. Sad to say, it's visible in churches. The buds are beginning to sprout and form of spiritual delusion in so many churches, even around us and perhaps among us. I was noticing the bushes out here, and you know, it's hard to keep them things, those bushes in check. They kind of grow beyond what you want, I was looking, you know, I'd like to really trim them back, but you look real close at some of those bushes and the buds, the flowers, are already forming for next spring. I'm not really interested in taking away all those flowers, so let's not touch the bushes right now. Let's wait till after the flowering season is over and then trim those bushes. You're probably all in favor. Let the beauty of the bush be seen in the spring. You know, sometimes the flower is produced long before it's visible. In the age of delusion, we may be in now, but the buds of it started sometime prior to. It was the slow progression, the little things that I talked about this morning even, the changing. Romans chapter 1 talks about and depicts the delusion. Not just the delusion in the term that Romans writer here gives of vile affections, but also He depicts delusion in the term or the phrase reprobate mind. And following that particular two-word phrase or term, there's a whole list of in-your-face misconstrued sin. You say, what are you talking about? Paul isn't using in-your-face approach to sin. No, he's using words, though, that are depicting people's attitudes or ways in which it is an in-your-face approach to sin. There's all kinds of words listed. It's not just simply talking about vile affections. It's talking about a whole host of things that are common in our day and common in churches, no less. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. It's not as bad as vile affection. It's not as bold as vile affection. It's not as visible as vile affection. Sometimes that these little buds are just small and insignificant this time of year, but they're there. Sometimes it begins innocently enough. A simple question. And I suppose that somewhere along the line, every one of us have asked this question. Why? Why do we do this? You know, there's two ways to ask that question. Well, duh, there's a right way and a wrong way. But what is the right way and what is the wrong way to ask the question, why or why not? The one way, the right way to ask that question is asking while already drawing up the lines for obedience. You understand what I mean? I'm asking the question, why do we do this? Not because I'm pushing against the restraints, but because I want to know. I'm going to do it, but I'd like to know why. I just don't understand why. You've heard this before. The wrong way of asking the question is drawing up the lines to argue and to disobey. I've heard the question before. Why can't guys wear pants just below the knee like girls wear their skirts? Now, the first few times that I heard that question, I was a little bit put out. You know, it's one of those questions that really the Bible would speak of as unnecessary. But after hearing the question for a number of years, I'm now beginning to see, and it's becoming a visible reality, that the ones that were asking the question were drawing the lines for argument because now they are doing those very things. Drawing the lines up for disobedience. And now that they're displaying a lot more than just the changes of that, but there's a lot of other things that are taking place in their lives that are changing from the heritage of holiness. Although, just a few years ago, they were the ones singing the song, I don't want to lose the vision, I don't want to lose the fire, I don't want to lose the glory. A heritage of holiness that has been passed down. What am I talking about tonight? Are you still with me? I'm talking about sin misconstrued. I suppose that I could really talk a lot longer. No, it's not even a suppose. I know I could talk a lot longer. I could talk a lot longer about the little foxes that are spoiling the vines of our heritage. The heritage that has been given to us of a close and careful walk with God. Now, I realize some of them are more easily defined than others. And I will admit that some things I struggle trying to define. Some things I see as very visible. Some things are very visible to me. Some things I really wonder if they too should be included. And then there's still others that perhaps I don't even see. Because we're all in that boat. Because you see something that I don't, I see something that you don't. But it's all about the whole makeup of the traditions and the changes from those, the heritage that has been passed on, the close and careful walk of holiness. Enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You know where that's found. Sure you do. You also know that I've taken it completely out of context. The color has been changed, hasn't it? The color has been so changed from what that verse really means that it's no longer white, it's black, or vice versa. Not a racial prejudice intended there. It's just the opposite of what was. Because that verse is really talking about Moses and his faith. And his faith in God was such that verse 25 of chapter 11 of Hebrews said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You see, that totally changes the picture, doesn't it? Totally changes the picture. No longer is it a context of being pleasurable sin where a person is allowed to enjoy without any kind of consequence, without any kind of reproof, and without any kind of chastisement, but it's there to tell us that here's one that had the open door to Sin City, but he chose the affliction that came along with being a child of God rather than having all of those things. Because he saw something so much better in serving God. Now, if you're still thinking about the phrase that I withdrew out of context, let me also share with you and establish in your mind what else is said in the Bible about sin's pleasures. Proverbs writer says in chapter 16, verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Romans also in chapter 3 verse 23 gives us the basis for it as well. For the wages of sin is death. We live in a culture of in your face celebration of sin, and it is nothing more than sin misconstrued. You say, well, what is the basis for this tonight? What is the whole thing that you're trying to say? I'm trying to say tonight, simply put, just finally this evening, that you and I must be understanding of the carefulness of the walk of holiness, the cross that we are to carry is not one that is conducive with the world, but it is one that we must carry. And in the finality of it all, as we've already heard and stated, there's no disappointments in serving Jesus Christ. Choosing rather to suffer than to enjoy sin for a season. May that be our watchguard as we continue our journey through life. Let's stand together tonight. There's going to be a number of people traveling this week, going back to school and Bible school and back to the university schooling as well. A lot of travels taking place again. Let's remember these various ones that will be traveling.